the van.
The ski masked speaker was barrel chested, with huge biceps and forearms. Stun, frag, and flash grens dangled from the straps of his combat harness. Along with the grens was a wicked looking 10-inch killing dagger, which hung in a ballistic nylon clip sheath just below his shoulder, with the rubber clad handle pointing down. He carried a beat up tri barrel, which he used to underscore his request.
In!
Ryan got a good look at the dark eyes behind the mask. No fear there, no anger either. They were all business. A mercenary. After he and Nara piled into the van, they were immediately shoved toward the middle bench seat. He slid in first, all the way to the wall, which had a window but no door. The only doors were at the side and rear of the wag. Three of the masked mercies climbed into the seat behind them. The rest took the seats in front. The wag was moving before the side door slammed shut.
How come he knows your name?
The van rapidly picked up speed. She didn't respond.
Now what's with this Mr. Wonderful crap?
Something hard poked him in the back of the head. He half turned. It was the rainbow-discolored flash hider of a tri-blaster.
Look up there.
The hooded Mercy sitting directly behind him used the weapon to point out a series of widely spaced 8x8-foot video screens suspended from the concrete ceiling and hanging down over the traffic lanes. Most of the screens were dark and out of service. A few were lit up in full color. 8x5s, they're beefy-tastic, one of them proclaimed. Under the flashing words, a man and woman, naked to the waist, ecstatically munched sandwiches in a love-tangled bed.
We call them tell-yous, because they tell you what you want.
As the van zoomed past, the laughing couple on the screen pulled the sheet over their heads. The next billboard said, "All good news, all the time. Your 24-hour joy source. Channel 128.
Up ahead, that's the one."
The familiar words, "Hope lives," filled the screen, along with an image of Ryan's face, scanned from what looked like a sec video shot in the white coat hallway. As they raced toward the electronic sign, the catchphrase melted away and was replaced by another. "It won't be long." The Mercy behind him gave him another jab in the back of the head.
No fucking lie.
Ryan looked at Nara.
"What won't be long?"
"Milk and honey, motherfucker. Milk and honey."
The driver of the van veered around a mass of wrecked vehicles and continued to cut left across a dozen lanes of traffic toward an off-ramp on that side. Ryan felt Nara tense up beside him as the driver exited the freeway. Until this point, she hadn't seemed very concerned about their kidnapping.
"Why are we going this way?"
"Relax. Everything's under control."
There were no overhead lights on the one-lane ramp, so the driver hit his high beams. Ahead of them, the ramp circled down in a broad arc. Outside his window, Ryan saw walls of concrete and concrete block, broken only by small, glassless, gun turret-like slits. A look across the van told Ryan it was the same story on the other side of the ramp, sheer gray walls. They'd made 6 or 7 complete circles when the headlights flashed on red. The walls from ground level to head height had been painted with a band of color. Then came the warning, in 2-foot-high white letters, repeated at intervals along the wall. "Danger! You are about to enter a no-response zone. No police, no emergency services, no re-entry without authorization. Energized lethal security systems." The headlamps caught the crosshatching of hurricane fence across the road, floor to ceiling ahead. The driver leaned on his horn without slowing. Reacting to the sound, automatic gates retracted into the walls. The van rushed past them and continued to spiral down, tires squealing. Ryan counted 8 more complete 360s. With every turn, Nara looked less and less pleased. The van stopped at the foot of the ramp. Right away, Ryan noticed how much hotter it was, and how the air was heavy and smelled of open fires and burning plastic. The driver crept forward onto a flat roadway. He kept his high beams on. Seeping down through the haze of smoke, the light from mercury vapor lamps set in the concrete superstructure 2 stories overhead was yellow and weak. Likewise dimmed were the flashing messages on more of the huge billboards. The gridwork ceiling appeared to be the underside of an identical street directly above. Ryan stared out at an endless sea of dirty faces. dressed in rags and plastic bags, the mass of humanity overflowed the sidewalks and spilled into the wide street, which their sheer numbers had reduced to a single winding lane. Ryan caught glimpses of still, limp forms on the ground at the forefront. Alive or dead, they were thoughtlessly trodden upon and kicked by those standing. There was simply no room to step around. Behind the encircling mob, both sides of the street were lined with concrete building fronts, and there wasn't an inch of space between them. There were plenty of windows in the otherwise featureless gray facades, and every window was lit by erratic strobe flashes. The Mercy tour guide saw Ryan's puzzled frown and leaned forward.
The winking lights are from the Tellus inside.
When Ryan's expression didn't change, he continued.
Can't get away from them, and you can't turn them off.
The explanation was cut short by a raucous clatter outside. From the windows on either side of the street, conventional weapons fire rained on them. The hail of bullets pelted into the van's armored roof and sides. Mercy shouted over the din.
Welcome to Gloomtown!
Through his window, Ryan could see ragged figures dropping from the ricochets and near misses. No one bent to help them. As the van rolled along, the blaster fire petered out, but didn't entirely stop. Every once in a while, another burst of slugs whacked into them.
What the fuck is this place?
Hell on Earth.
The leader of the Mercies turned around in his seat.
For most people, Jurassic, this is Earth.
Then he addressed Ryan's question.
We're on Thrillbill Ransom's turf right now. Turned himself into a self-styled warlord, thanks to Five's population control service.
I hate to break the news, but your population doesn't look all that controlled.
Yeah, tell me about it. PCS's approach to the problem has always been consistent. That is, scattergun and harebrained. One of their most brilliant ideas was to pass out free projectile-firing guns and ammunition to the underclasses who were doing most of the baby-making. The idea being, since the Five troops protecting the CEOs and upper-level managers were immune to lead poisoning, and since the CEOs and upper-level managers were separated from the masses by miles of concrete, the underclasses could only do the world a favor and kill one another. Ransom's just one of thousands of consumer rebellion vets who jumped on the PCS gun giveaway as an opportunity to set up private armies and carve out their own kingdoms. Below the red line, warlords like Thrill Bill are the only law.
He gestured toward the window.
And what's out there stretches on forever.
Ryan had never seen so many people in one place, or such uniform expressions of despair and defeat.
High-list gloomers. Dead before their numbers come up.
An explanation that explained nothing. The van's driver crept around a semi-tractor trailer, stopped in the middle of the available road. The trailer's side and rear doors were open, and mobbed by people with outstretched arms. As they passed, Ryan saw a man inside throwing out armfuls of foil-wrapped packets. Painted on the side of the trailer were the words, Eat Fives, Fine Foods, Beefy Cheesy, Tater Cheesy.
Let him eat rock.
The Mercy leader's pronouncement made all the hooded soldiers for hire laugh. When the driver turned again, heading out of the center of the street and toward the narrow entrance to another ramp, the tension bottled up inside Nara finally exploded.
This isn't the way to the safe house! What the fuck are you trying to pull, Dam?
There's been a change in plans.
Dam removed his ski mask. His wiry brown hair was shaved to stubble. What had to be a laser scar wrapped around his meaty chin, like a chunk of twisted purple rope. The other 11 Mercies took their masks off, too. All of them, the women included, had buzz cuts. Their eyes had a look that Ryan had seen before, somewhere beyond exhaustion.
You can't do this. We had a deal.
Considering how important Mr. Wonderful is, it seemed like me and my people were getting the short end of the stick. Why should Mitsuki have the only chance to bid on what's in his head? There are four other globals who deserve an equal shot at the prize.
How much more do you want?
It's not a question of more, Jurassic. It's a question of different. We don't want drugs, money, or guns. We want transport.
Armored personnel carriers?
No, transport. As in, forget Five's fucking fixed lottery. We want immediate passage to Shadow World, as in today. with weapons, a lifetime supply of power packs, full battle kits, and since you're offering, we'll take a pair of APCs, too.
I think all that's doable, but only if you don't call in the rest of the globals. You can't play them one against another to get your prize.